The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
There are many ways to end a conversation. It's a pleasure talking to you. Farewell. So long. Take care. See you around. Catch you later. Until next time. See you soon. Talk to you later. I gotta go. Don't be a stranger. Take it easy. Have a good one. Hasta la vista. Peace, happy trails, TTFN, which is ta-ta for now. Parade Magazine gave 115 different ways to say goodbye. Style Craze, a website, offered 101 interesting ways to end a conversation. But some people simply have a hard time saying goodbye. You've talked to people before and you start to turn away and they say, oh, just one more thing, and you turn back. And you try to turn away again, and they do it again and again. And it seems like you never can say goodbye, just like the song. Sometimes goodbye is unwanted. It's permanent. It's so final that you don't want to do that. See people hugging and clinging to each other at airports or in hospitals or many other places. They're reluctant to let go. How do you say goodbye to a loved one that you may never see again? By the way, I'm not implying I'm saying goodbye. I'm staying here. I like it. But here's some goodbye wisdom. A recent study revealed that 20% of husbands kiss their wife goodbye when they leave the house. 80% of men kiss their house goodbye when they leave their wife. So, if you want to keep your house, start kissing your wife. A husband said, I'm confused. My wife left a note on the fridge saying, this isn't working, goodbye. So I opened the refrigerator, but it works just fine. A wife told her husband, our neighbor always kisses his wife goodbye, why don't you do that? And the husband said, why would I do that? I hardly know her. Goodbye has finally arrived for the book of Hebrews. This is lesson number 38 in the book. But it takes the author 8 verses to say goodbye. And I'm going to read those final verses in the book of Hebrews. And you can mentally put a goodbye wherever you think the conversation could end. Okay, and here we go. Obey your spiritual leaders, do what they say. Not goodbye. Their work is to watch over your souls and they're accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with joy, not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear. We want to live honorably in everything we do. Especially pray that I'll be able to come back to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. But not goodbye. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that's pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever, amen. But not goodbye. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, pay attention to what I've written in this brief exhortation. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from jail. If he comes here soon, I'll bring him with me to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the believers there. The believers from Italy send you their greetings. May God's grace be with you all. Goodbye. This brief goodbye is anything but brief. We've taken a deep dive in the study of Hebrews. It's a difficult book and it's challenging, but it's worth it. The reward of studying God's plan in depth, Paul said to the church in Ephesians, that is that Christ will be more and more at home in our hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love so that at last you'll be filled with God himself. The book of Hebrews, sort of like the Gospels, is all about Jesus. He's everywhere throughout the book of Hebrews. If you haven't been through the whole study, I can do a recap. He's described in the book of Hebrews as Christ, Lord, Great Shepherd, Apostle, Pioneer, Forerunner, Son, Son of God, Priest, High Priest. He's described as better than angels. That was chapter 1 of Hebrews. Better than the prophets. He brings a better hope than the law of Moses. He offers a better sacrifice and provides a better inheritance. He's portrayed as the eternal Son of God, equal in divinity with the Father himself. The main purpose of the book, the writing of the book of Hebrews, is to encourage Jewish Christians to remain faithful. And Jews and Christians today need that encouragement because we are increasingly under attack. In Hebrews chapter 7 through the end of the book, the author emphasizes the role of Jesus in God's plan to save us. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, 25 different times, it says Jesus is better. Better than anything else. He's better than angels, prophets, better than Abraham, Melchizedek, and Moses. And we've studied this. Better than Joshua, Aaron, and all priests. His blood is better than the blood of bulls and goats. He offers a better covenant than the old covenant. He's greater than our pains and our fears. He's greater than our problems, our sin, our doubt, and our past. And he overcomes death and brings us life. And the key verse central to Hebrews is Hebrews 12, verse 2, encouraging Christians, we must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. The whole Bible is, in fact, about Jesus. From creation in Genesis to his return in Revelation, everything circles and centers around Jesus. Reminds me of the lyrics of a song you know. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Normal goodbyes, when we say goodbye to our friends, are usually nothing more than just a polite gesture. But the closing words of Hebrews reminds us that we might be the only Jesus some ever get to see. In fact, Jesus prayed in John 17, I've sent them into the world the same way you sent me into the world. And we're in the same circumstances Jesus was in. So how should we conduct ourselves to please Jesus? In the closing words, the Hebrews author says, submit to the authority of the spiritual leaders. Hebrews 13, 17, obey your spiritual leaders, submit to them, recognize their authority over you. And that's not blank check obedience. In fact, quite the contrary, Christians need to check everything because there's counterfeit churches and fake spiritual leaders everywhere. America's founding fathers often used a sentence, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If a person doesn't know the God of the Bible, they're going to be open to falling to the God of this world. And if they don't trust our Father who art in heaven, they'll choose our Father who art in Washington to save them. God set up structures for his church. The author closes by repeating what he said just a verse or two before in this same chapter. Hebrews 13, 7, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that's come from their lives and follow the examples of their faith. We should be asking ourselves, and I know this goes out over YouTube and Facebook, and many will hear this. Do the spiritual leaders of your church teach the whole word of God or an edited version that they want to believe that supports their doctrinal views? Do they teach the tough scriptures along with the feel-good scriptures? Do they cater to what their audiences want to hear? Peter says that's going to be more and more the case in the last days. Do the spiritual leader's life measure up to what they teach? Or are they saying, do as I say? Paul set up authority structures over the earth. He writes to Christians in Rome, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And that's the case unless the authority, the governing authorities, go against God and his word. Acts 5:29, Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. And a time is going to come when we need to decide. Spiritual leaders were chosen in each church in the early church. Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas chose some leaders for each of the churches and prayed that the Lord would take good care of these leaders who had trusted in the Lord. The Greek word says to submit. Hupiko is the Greek word meaning to yield to give way, to make yourself weak, don't resist, surrender to. And it was actually a military term of submission, describing soldiers who were professional combatants, and they were dressed to be the aggressors, but they gave in to the authority over them. It's the only time the word is used in the New Testament. And Jesus said, any country that divides itself into groups which fight each other won't last very long. Any town or family that divides itself into groups which fight each other will fall apart. We're there today, describing family fights, political fights, church fights. In fact, Paul described fights in one of his churches, Corinth. Corinth was a messed up church. It's called the catalog of sins of the New Testament because if there's a sin, it's in Corinthians. But it says in 1 Corinthians 6:7, to have such lawsuits in that church at all is a real defeat for you as Christians. Why not just accept mistreatment and leave it at that? It'd be far more honoring to the Lord to let yourselves be cheated. But instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong, cheating others, even your own brothers. Liberal churches will conform and promote ideology that will celebrate sin.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Jesus said of such institutions, ignore them. They're blind guides leading the blind. If one blind person guides another, they'll both fall into the ditch. So he's saying, ditch the blind spiritual leaders before you end up in a ditch with them. But godly teachers will show you what God wants, and they'll use many scriptures in the guidebook God has left. Following godly teachers will produce peace and harmony in the body of Christ. That's what the closing goal of this author in Hebrews is trying to accomplish. And who are leaders and teachers accountable to? Verse 17, they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. We'll learn in James chapter 3, that's the next book that we're going to be studying, dear brothers and sisters. And speaking to Christians, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. And some believe that that means that Christians are going to judge their Bible teachers and preachers. Others think that God's going to judge them more strictly. And the answer is yes, both. Paul talked about this, said to young Timothy, who would follow him in the faith, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, a genuine faith. Some people have missed this whole point. They've turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. Reminded me of Ronald Reagan once, who said, the trouble with our friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so. Teachers, leaders in the church will give an account to God. And in the meantime, they watch over your souls. And the watch means to be sleepless, to stay awake. It's what you'd expect shepherds to do over their flock. Every leader in the church should keep one eye on God and one eye on Christians, because they're going to be judged in both of those categories. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, Peter wrote, I appeal to you, spiritual leaders. I make this appeal as a spiritual leader. Be shepherds over the flock God has entrusted to you. Watch over it as God does. Don't do this because you have to, but because you want to. Don't do it out of greed, but out of a desire to serve. Don't be rulers over the people entrusted to you, but be examples for the flock to follow. Then when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Godly shepherds will lead by example. And what attitude will these leaders have in ministry? You may have heard about the mom that awakened her son for church one Sunday morning, and he said, I'm not going. His mother asked, why not? And he says, I'll give you two reasons. One, they don't like me. Number two, I don't like them. His mother says, I'll give you two reasons you're going to church. One, you're 47 years old. And two, you're the pastor. Church leadership is done with joy or grief. And I say that from experience. The writer says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning. And it depends on how Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and pastors and elders are treated by those they serve. John's ministry brought him joy. He wrote in one of the letters, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Paul wrote, to the Christians in Philippi, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Christians, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work." He said to the church in Thessalonica, "After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It's you. Yes, you are our pride and joy." You were wondering where that came from? That's where it came from. He says, "How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence." Ministry can be and should be a joy. A few people in every church actually show that they really care about their teachers and leaders. They were what Barnabas was to Paul. He was an encourager, and he was known for encouraging. And they'll ask their leaders how they're doing, and they'll actually wait for an answer. Pray for your leaders. Minister to the leaders in any way the Holy Spirit leads you to do that. Kindness goes a long way when someone's burdened and feeling unappreciated. You know, almost all of the church leaders I know are human. They have up and down times, good and bad days, just like everybody else. And that's why we're told, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. You know, there was a woman that the Bible talks about washed Jesus' feet. It's in Luke chapter 7. And he might have been at a down point in his life, but he responded, "I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, for he has shown me much love. But a person who's forgiven little shows only a little love." So if God has given you a lot and forgiven you a lot, show your love to those who bring you closer to Jesus. Otherwise, leaders will serve with grief, stenazo, Greek. The word means to groan within oneself, to feel frustrated, to sigh deeply, to groan because you're under pressure. And the term actually is used to describe childbirth and the groaning and the agony involved there. I've spoken to many church pastors who told me that their ministry through the years almost or entirely destroyed them. You know, my brother's a senior minister of a Christian church in Florida. My nephew is an associate minister in a church in Sierra Vista, Arizona. There are retired ministers in this church and every church. And I talk to those retired pastors and they say, "You can't imagine." And I say, "Yeah, I can." Treat spiritual leaders in a way that they can minister with joy. And how do we bring blessings to God's church according to the closing goodbye here? He says, pray for us. Us is plural. He isn't saying pray for me alone. Pray for all the leaders of the churches that God puts there. In fact, Paul asked for prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Always be joyful, never stop praying." I read a suggestion of 9 ways to pray for your church leaders, so if you're wondering, pray that they keep their eyes on God and for God's leading, that they don't rely on their own strength, that they have godly wisdom, that they're empathetic and compassionate towards God's people, that they actually get away and spend some time with God, that the church leaders are worthy of their calling, that they speak the gospel boldly, and that they finish well. Pray for them every day, that they know Christ better, that they're humble, that they minister using the Holy Spirit's power, and that they live a life of holiness and purity and prayer. Pray for their families, for protection against the schemes of the devil. And actually, Paul wrote to Christians in Rome, Romans 15:30, asking, "Will you be my prayer partners? The Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit, pray with me for my work, that I'll be protected in Jerusalem from those who are not Christians." He said to those in Ephesus, "Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Pray that I'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should." Sometimes people will tell me that they're praying for me, and I can feel prayers, and I can feel when people aren't praying. The spiritual leader has to hold themselves to the highest of standards. Verse 18, "We're sure we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way." That was his goal. And that's a result in context of the prayer of the saints. And I love it when somebody will ask me, how can I pray for you? Because sometimes a person has a specific prayer request that you can't read their minds. Don't assume, ask. And I remember going to a hospital, and a lady was laying in bed, dying. And I started praying for her. I asked if I could pray, and she said yes. And I prayed that she would be healed. And she stopped me and said, stop that. I don't want to be healed. I want to go home to be with Jesus. So ask. The writer's prayer, I don't think, could have been guessed at. He says, I especially ask for your prayer so that I may come back to you soon. How would they have guessed that? Soon is a word of urgency that they're restored quickly to each other in love. The Bible says we don't have the things we want because we don't ask for it. We don't pray for it. And then a goodbye blessing is given to this church. Many of the New Testament books will end with goodbye in some way or other. Benediction means blessing, words of that promotes goodness and well-being, words that expresses good wishes. And it's often a prayer that asks God blessing to protect someone else. The most famous blessing in Judaism in the Old Testament is found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's a famous blessing. Hebrews will finally end with, now may the God of peace. And God is called the God of peace 6 times in the Bible. And we know where peace comes from. It comes from the Prince of Peace. He says it comes through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus. It says in Colossians 1, peace comes through Christ. God's brought all things back to himself again, things on earth, things in heaven. God made peace through the blood of Christ's death on the cross. We'll talk about that next week. And we've been put right with God through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word peace is the Greek word enreine, means to tie things together as a whole, put a ribbon on it. Refers to when all the essential parts are combined together so it works. And if the essential parts of the human body isn't tied together, it's not going to end well for that human body. And when members of the church don't work together, it doesn't end well for the body of Christ. And the blessing concludes. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that's pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen and goodbye. The power of Christ working in and through us is what's needed if we're going to please the Lord. The teacher of Hebrews, the original audience that received this, have all said goodbye, world, goodbye. But he wanted us to know in closing that it's all about Jesus. Stay faithful to Jesus until the end. Prioritize him over yourself and over everything else. And don't just tell him how much you love him, show him, because we're not going to be here very much longer. And if we've done all of these things and prioritized God, this is how we can say goodbye, world.
Bye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound,
be with you all. Amen.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.